only those who humble themselves before the mighty God will ultimately live. The humble are those who said, I'm a sinner, I need a savior. The humble are those who say, I bow down before the Lord. I bow my knee and I confess with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. The humble are those who say, I can't do it. Jesus Christ, you must. The proud say, I'm doing it. And in the end, literally, they will die. The proud will die, but the humble will live.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. Hey, if you'd like to reach out to us here at Live in the Light, make sure you visit our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Well, we're walking through Luke's gospel, and we're telling stories. Well, not us, but Jesus is telling stories. Tell stories that relate to us 2,000 years later. And Robbie, today, we're learning, really, in a nutshell, pride, well, it's dumb.
That's right. This is a principle embedded within the story that Jesus told. I would call a top five principle for the Christian life. It's just that important. It's that huge. With pride, you lose. With humility, you win. And so that's why Jesus told these stories. So, oh, loved ones, let us listen. Let us be convinced to the beauty and the power and the glory of what it means to be a child of God, pursuing the path of humility and despising the path of pride. It guarantees blessing. That's what humility does. And again, that's why Jesus says, story time, excited for today.
All right, well, it's the parable of the wedding feast found in Luke chapter 14. And here again is Robbie.
Speaking of cars, think about how we can often buy cars that we can't afford. Why do we do that? I would argue 99 times out of 100, the reason we buy cars that we can't afford, because the ultimate motivation is we're trying to present a lifestyle that we want other people to see, so people will think highly of us in some way that we think that gives us importance, that makes us feel special, and somehow increases our value in our lives, so we buy things that we can't afford in order to promote self in the eyes of others. That's pretty sick. But we do it all the time. We care so much what people think, so we will extend ourselves without hurting ourselves, so others will say, hey, man, look at me, am I right, man? And all the guys that do that, it's unbelievable. What is it? Self-exaltation, self-promotion, self-centeredness. Think of how we push ourselves into positions of leadership. We force our way in because we think we know, we think we are, we think we have. And we say, forget what they say. I'm exalting self because I'm the answer to all your problems. Really? Really? Think of how we rush to talk and rush to speak and rush to be heard, and we interrupt others and we cut people off. Why? Because ultimately what we're saying is, you got something to say, I got something more important to say. You got something smart to say, I'm smarter. I believe my words have more value than yours, so you be quiet and let the king start talking. And we begin to promote self and self-centeredness and self-exaltation. We are taking the honored seat, and we got to be careful, because if we're not careful, we'll be humiliated in the process. God will make sure of it. Think of how we butt in line. Think of how we butt in line. Why do we do that? We butt in line because we're saying to everyone else behind, saying, I'm more important than you. I just deserve to be in a better spot. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is, but man, I'm more important. Mine's more critical. I'm more essential. Get behind me. I'm going in front. How we fight for one car length in traffic ahead of someone else. Why? We want to promote self. It has to be. I need to get somewhere. My situation is more important. Man, this hurts. Think of how defensive we get. When someone criticizes us, why do we get so defensive? Because you're attacking me. You're attacking the promotion of me. How dare you attack the promotion of me? Because I want my promotion of me to go forward and you're causing it to go backwards. Don't you talk to me that way. Think of how we rush to be recognized. rush to be acknowledged, rush to be thanked. This is the human heart. I will do something for you and I will be nice to you, but you better say thankful to me. If you're not thankful to me, you don't recognize all I've done for you, man. I'm never giving you anything ever again. What is that? It's self-promotion. It's evil. Think of our jealousy and our envy. Jealousy is, I want what you have. Envy is, I covet what you have. Jealousy is, I want to be who you are. What is that? It's rooted in self-glory. Think of our tendency to control. Why do we seek to control? Often it's to promote self. I want to be in charge. I want to make the decisions. I want to be the one who's talking. Think of the inability to encourage others. Why are we so hesitant to encourage others? Well, what our sin says to us and our flesh says to us, if I encourage you, it's no longer about me. And I place value upon you. And again, I take it off of me. So we're so afraid to encourage because it elevates someone else beyond ourselves. Think of sinful anger. Sinful anger can often be promotion of self. I'll show you who's right. This has to be about me. I demand, and anger comes out because our situation has been wronged. Think of how we reference self, congratulate self, highlight self. Think of how we're desperate to promote self. Think of Facebook. Oh, here he goes. But have you ever noticed, honestly, have you ever noticed just this insight for me like this week? You ever noticed that we hardly ever, I'm not on Facebook, but understand how Facebook works. How on Facebook, there's hardly ever a picture of us grumpy, miserable, terrible hairdo that day, scrubby clothes, looking at our worst. It's almost always the happiest situation. All my friends are with me. Life is so awesome. I got this amazing vacation. We really put the best part of us out in front. Why? Because we're trying to present an image of what our lives are like. We want people to see, my life is amazing. I'm always happy. Nothing ever goes wrong. And you'd be jealous of what I got. Whether you're consciously thinking about that, it's amazing how quickly we say, here's my best side. Why? Because we want to promote self. Because we want to take the honored seat. Think of how insecure we are. Why? Because we care so much of how people view us. Because we care about our glory. Think of how we can't admit we're wrong. Why can't we admit when we're wrong? Because when we admit we're wrong, we're lowering ourselves before others. We're self-demoting as opposed to self-promoting. Think of how many jobs are beneath us. I'm not doing that job. Why? Self-glory, self-exaltation, self-centers. And then think of the times when we do the lowly jobs, but just so people will think we're amazingly humble. Wow. I understand when Paul said this, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Listen. Who can deliver me from this body of death? The answer is Jesus, loved ones. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, when you go through that as I did and how convicted I was, but listen, this is, okay, when I go through that list, I am saddened, but I'm not depressed. It hurts me, but again, I'm not depressed because all it says to me is again, the gospel is amazing. The gospel is incredible. My heart is so wicked, but Jesus has set me free and I'm alive in him and he loves me and you still love me even though every day I do all these ridiculous things inside of me, but you still love me and use me and cleanse me and want to speak to me and say, Lord, give me a clean heart and allow me then to live for you. You and to live for others and not for self. Lord, I want to take the humble position that you may exalt, not the honored seat that you might have to humble. What's happening here in this parable? Jesus is telling us this. As we look at our text, notice what Jesus teaches here. He says, the person who insists on self-promotion, if they are going to be used of God, the person who insists on self-promotion, listen, they necessitate a lesson in humiliation. If you insist on yourself, if I insist on my pride, it necessitates a lesson of humiliation. This is why I cannot win with pride, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And how many men and women in time, how many men and women, before they enter into God's hall of fame, they must first go through the hall of shame? How many men and women? The answer is every single one in one way or another. And why? Why? Because if God is going to use you, listen, it can't be about you. If God is going to use you, it can't be about you. my favorite Tozer quotes is this one right here. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. Think about that. Just look at that for a second. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly unless he has hurt him deeply. Why? Because he must come to the end of himself or herself before he or she understands what life is really about, who is really in charge, who really deserves the glory. So be brought. Think of how many times in the New Testament, die to self, take up your cross, the grain of wheat that falls through the earth and dies. Decrease self, increase Christ, John the Baptist said. Humble, be exalted. Be exalted, be humbled. It's everywhere, all that Jesus is sending a message. If you want to be used of God, can't be about you. I believe this to be so true. Take arguably five of the most powerfully used leaders in scripture. All of them devastated in self, but then used in Christ. Arguably five powerful leaders in scripture. Moses. Moses, prince, 40 years in the wilderness, utter devastation of self, came to his end to prepare him then to be used of God so mighty. David, a shepherd as a teenager, exalted in the defeat of Goliath. But listen, after that, Saul's trying to kill him and kill him and kill him, chase him all over the countryside. How humiliating that is, how lessening of self. And then afterwards, his sin with Bathsheba, his murder of Uriah, the devastation of self. And yet, in the end, a man after God's own heart. Daniel, say, what did he do wrong? Listen, he was a captive, a slave to the Babylonians. And there he was in the humility and the humiliation of that moment, trusting in God and of himself. And he was so powerfully used of God. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. I'll never deny you. I'll even die for you. I don't know him. Wept bitterly as he turns as the rooster crows. Devastated himself. And Jesus says, when I restore you to myself, and then Jesus ends up exalting Peter to be the leader of the church, to see incredible things happen through him. Of course, there's the Apostle Paul. On his way to persecuting Christians, his hatred for Jesus Christ, God strikes him down with a light of glory from heaven. He becomes nothing in an instant. And from that moment on, he is shown how much he must suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Every single person who's used of God, they must find out one way or another. It can't be about them. Loved ones, I truly believe this is for all of us. I told this story many years ago. I think it's time to tell this story again. Before I became pastor of this church, I was an associate pastor of a good church in this area. And I found myself at one of the campuses of this church, and things were going pretty good, and I felt I was called to preach. I really had a burden for the word of God, really wanted to be used in this way, and had a lot of zeal and really seeking, how's this gonna happen? When's this gonna happen? But I find myself, instead of preaching, I find myself jokingly referring to my title as the pastor of lifting boxes. We were in a school, and what we did every Sunday is we set up, and it wasn't the great kind of setup system, and there weren't a lot of people helping, but I found myself week in and week out basically lifting boxes, setting up classrooms, putting everything away to the point of often just so tired and sweating and on my own, whatever it is. I remember I used to whine and complain, maybe not out loud, but to myself. I was like, God, what's up with this? What's up with this? Why am I lifting boxes week after week after week after week? And I felt sorry for myself. And I was suffering from self-pity because I thought I had something to offer to the Lord. I thought something should be happening by this point and this time of my life. What I did not understand was the heart and the character needed to catch up with any level of gifting that God had given. So I went on for month and month and month. And about 6-8 months later, there I was again, kind of by myself at the end of the day, sweat pouring down my forehead, putting the last box. And I struggled with God and I wrestled with him and I complained to him and I whined and I felt sorry for myself. But it came down so many months where God was not in a rush, because what does God want? He wants your heart. And it came to the end. And I found myself, as I pushed the last box into this room where everyone else again was gone, I looked up to the Lord and I meant it when I said this, and I sincerely meant it. It took so long to happen. I said, Lord, I thought you called me to preach. But if I'm wrong, and if you have called me to lift boxes for your glory, I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. It took months and months and months, but I meant it. And what is God looking for right there? He's not looking for a special gift. He's looking for a heart of obedience and dependence and humility before him. And I kid you not, from that moment on, as I broke before the Lord and saying, whatever it is you want to do, you do it, Lord. You're in charge, not me. Your glory is all that matters. Wouldn't you know, in a few weeks or months later, this whole harvest thing started to bubble forth. And here we are now. Why? Because God is interested in those who will trust him, lean on him, depend on him, and be humbled before him. That's the point of what's happening right here. You humble yourself and you get exalted. Listen, but you and I cannot win with pride. We cannot win with pride. And that takes us to life-changing principle number two. Listen, but I cannot lose with humility either. I cannot lose with humility. Look at verse 10 now. Verse 10, it says, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he might say to you, hey friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. Now, verses like this have shaped my entire life and ministry. I'm just honest with you, I think about this kind of stuff several times a day. And let me just say for the record, okay, let me say this is very important. And I say this on behalf of the elders of this church too. When it comes to humility, we stink at it. But listen, we believe in it. We believe in it. I'm never gonna tell you I'm humble. I am not. I'm just not. The moment you think you're humble is the moment you've lost it, as has been wisely said. But we believe in humility, and any leader who will be used in this church better believe in humility too. We're not saying they're perfect in humility, but they better believe in it, because God sure does. And so we say around here, when it comes to humility, we stink at it, but we believe in it with all we've got. Because God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. And the truth of this verse that blesses me so much, within it are the secrets of the kingdom of God, which I suggest, sadly, so few take seriously. But Jesus is saying this, when you're invited in, take the lowest place. Now, not false humility, because that's just as bad. It's not, I'll just sit here and wait for them to recognize who it is and then they'll honor me. No. You genuinely desire to take the lowest seat because you genuinely see yourself in that way. And then Jesus says, instead of being shamed for promoting self, this is so beautiful, the master or the Lord will come up and say, hey, you friend, it's time to move up higher. And when the Lord starts to move you into an honor position, you're going. Have you, like me, never been at a sporting event or let's say a hockey game and you see these guys who are sneaking down into the platinums and you can just tell from a distance away you're kind of up there and you're like, why didn't I do that, you know? And they're there and they're kind of going down and they sit down right by the far front of the glass and you can just tell they're totally like, this is not their seats, whatever. And you watch from a distance and sure enough, the ticket comes up, whatever, and he starts talking to them and just say, hey, can I see your tickets? And then the whole section is kind of watching what's happening right there and the guys can look at each other and like, And then they get up, their heads are down, their tails are between their legs and they start walking up, doing the walk of shame, and they start walking away, whatever, and people are throwing popcorn at them and stuff, right? And just kind of making fun of them. Yeah, get back to where you belong and all that kind of stuff. It's a horrible feeling. It really is. And this happens in all sorts of circumstances ever. I'm not where I should be. I don't belong here. I've been caught. And the walk of shame begins in the utter humility. It feels terrible. But have you ever been honored in another setting where you were where you're supposed to be and all of a sudden that changes? I remember once sitting in a plane. And of course, I was in economy. That's all I ever sit in, of course. And I was in economy and the flight attendant comes up and says, Mr. Simons. And I'm like, yeah, you know? I'm like, oh, did my passport expire? Like, what's going on? You know, whatever, she's come with me, please. And I start walking up, kind of to the front. And then she has a seat in first class. And she's like, we're gonna move your seat up to here. I'm just like, is there a camera on right now? Like, what? You can't, what's going on? Whatever. And it turned out there's some guy in our church who found out he worked for the airline. He found out we're on the flight and able to go there. I'm just like, man, it felt pretty good. You're walking up and you're like, yeah, this is pretty sweet. I remember also being in an airport once and a U.S. Customs guy came in. All right. U.S. Customs guys are pretty intimidating, don't you think? They're usually pretty grumpy. All right. No offense if you're here right now. Okay. Whatever. All right. But the U.S. Customs guy comes up and we're kind of sitting there with two other guys from our church. And he's like, Mr. Simons. And I was like, oh no, you know? And I was racking my brain. Have I committed a crime recently? Have I committed a crime? Like, I don't know what's going on, whatever. He's like, come with me. I'm like, what is this all about? And then all of a sudden he kind of turns friendly and he's like, hey, there's a guy who goes to your church and he knew you were coming in. I'm like, how do people doing all these things, whatever. And he walks us past the big line of customs. Okay, now, I've done a lot of traveling. I got two stories, all right? That's it, all right? That's all I got. The only two stories I got. But I'm telling you, it feels pretty good when you're in the place of humility and then you're honored and you're walking up. You're like, wow, this is amazing. As opposed to honoring yourself and then being humiliated. So many people in the church, man, it's about me. And God's like, you want to make it about you? All right, let's make it about you and let's see how far that goes. And the humiliation begins and the shame that is presented. But not that God doesn't love you, but he wants to get you to the place where it's not about you. But then when you're honored, I love this so much. Right? If God decides to honor you, man, you're going. My favorite verses in scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so at the proper time he may exalt you. Notice this, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. Notice, under whose hand? God's mighty hand, strong, invincible hand. Notice this. This is so important right now. At the proper time, his time, God knows he will exalt you. There's some young people here right now. There's some young men. It's amazing to me. There's a ton of people. But there's some young men here right now. You are so impatient. You have too high a view of yourself. You think you're God's gift to the church. And you would never say that way, but you act that way. And you walk around and you're like, where's my chance? These guys don't see where I'm at. How come I'm not it? Listen, that's not the way to go about it. You will not win in that way. You will only lose. You humble yourself. You say, I got a gift to use. You don't think God knows that you got a gift to use? God gave you that gift. Do you think God wants that gift wasted? No, but he's not in a rush because he wants your heart to catch up with your gift. He will not exalt a character that is in the basement for a gift that is in the penthouse. He cares about heart and character and maturity and humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and at the proper time. That's a word for a lot of us right now. When God says, friend, move up higher, you're going. No one will stop you. No one will stop him. That's a beautiful principle to live by. I think about it tons. When God chooses to authenticate, you are exalted. Do you trust him or do you trust yourself? How many men and women, I trust myself. I'm promoting myself. And they fail to humble themselves under God's mighty hand, waiting for his time to allow the true honor to begin. What does that look like in your individual life, in your family, in your school, in your ministry, in your church, in your whatever. God decides. It is an awesome, peaceful feeling of freedom to say, God, you know, you care, you will in your time. In the meantime, I serve as faithfully as I can before my God in love for him and trusting at the proper time that he will do what only he can do. Now, in this talk of humility, it's so important to clarify. I don't think humility means that we lack ambition. But listen. Let it be God's ambition. Notice in our parable, the host comes up and says, friend, move up higher. So there the honor begins. False humility or fear of failure would say, no, I don't want to do it. No, let someone else do it. That can be a false humility, or I'm just so afraid I'm going to fail that God is trying to honor you and you're like, no, I'm too afraid. That's no good either. Proper godly ambition says, I have some trepidation. I can't believe I'm being asked, but by faith, I believe God is doing it and I begin to walk forward to see what God would have me do within this circumstance. Faith responds to the invitation of honor with humility, yet with godly ambition. The secret is let God do the exalting because God gets it right every single time. This is so needed in our day. Henry Blackaby has this quote, which I love so much too. And here's the difference. When the world exalts you, you are the one who receives the credit. When God exalts you, others will praise him for what he has done in your life. You see, when God does the honoring, God gets the glory. When we do the honoring, when we promote ourselves, we get the glory. And so God's not afraid to honor people when he knows they are in the place to be used of him. How beautiful that is. Let's look at our final verse, verse 11. Notice this. He wraps it up by saying this. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The truth here, loved ones, this is an essential kingdom principle. It reveals who enters life and who enters death. Okay, listen. So this isn't just, well, I want to avoid shame in my life. Well, I don't want to take the honored seat so I'm not embarrassed. It's more than that. Inherent within this text is the gospel itself. The humble are those who are repentant before God. They receive everlasting and eternal life. The proud are those who ultimately say, I don't need God. I'm God. They reject him. They will go to eternal death. Just recently, I saw the Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade. Do you know that movie's 25 years old now? I had one of those moments where I'm like, 25 years? Like, what? I couldn't believe it. I was just trying to do the math. I'm like, really? I'm that old now? Like, no way. Like, 25 years ago, this movie was made. It felt like it was like yesterday. Anyways, I'm watching the movie, getting over my heart attack of I'm aging, right? So I'm watching the movie, and the very end of the movie, they had that scene where Indy's going for the Holy Grail. And he gets to that first place, that first kind of booby trap place. And the clue that his father found out for him was the breath of God, the penitent shall pass. Only the penitent shall pass. Only the penitent shall pass. Only the penitent shall pass. And at the very last second, he says, the penitent, those who are humble, who kneel before God and kneel. And he kneels down and he avoids his head being cut off in the movie. And he says, I'm through. I was listening to this week and I'm like, that's a cool scene in the movie. That's a truth for life. Only those who humble themselves before the mighty God will ultimately live. The humble are those who said, I'm a sinner, I need a savior. The humble are those who say, I bow down before the Lord. I bow my knee and I confess with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. The humble are those who say, I can't do it. Jesus Christ, you must. The proud say, I'm doing it. And in the end, literally, they will die. The proud will die, but the humble will live. This is the root of the gospel. This is what we're seeing within this text. This is why the humble are exalted in salvation. And think about how are we exalted in our salvation? So Christ was humiliated then and exalted. We find humiliation and being humbled in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that day will come and Jesus will return. And what do we know? We're children of God. What do we know? We're sheep that belong to the good shepherd. What do we know? We receive the inheritance of Jesus Christ. What do we know? We are exalted and given the right to become children of God who will dwell with Jesus Christ forever and ever in new heavens and new earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God be the glory. That's a good deal, loved ones. That's a good deal. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And that's what we go for today. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Listen, I start off today by saying, Lord, in a world of pride, would you convince us of humility? The starting point right now is to say, are you convinced of humility? The choice is yours, loved ones. The choice is mine. Every day, 100 opportunities, the door of humility and the door of pride. You choose the door of pride, you lose. You choose the door of humility, you win. As that old guy in the Indiana Jones and Last Crusade movie, as he said at the very end, that knight that was there for hundreds of years, he says, choose wisely. And that's our exhortation today too. Choose wisely.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.